You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM in Chicago. Time is 9 AM on this somewhat cold, snowy Monday morning in Chicago.
I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. It was bound to happen, right?
Wayne's December.
No way we can get around.
In fact, we've been very lucky so far with very little snow, but I hear a big snowstorm is coming tomorrow night into Wednesday. Several inches expected. All depends on
the wind have to come down here, though,
direction. Yeah, well, you live two blocks away from here. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor, St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's beautiful northwest side, and co-host Wayne Madjars, vice president and chief of staff, Loyola University. How are you doing today, Wayne?
Good, good. Did you have a nice weekend?
Wonderful. Busy.
Must have been great. The Bears won, so you're happy. And
well, yeah, but they played a semi-pro team.
Chatting with Father Matt and Estrada. We're all going to get along really well today because we have three out of four at the table that are avid sports fans. So I'll listen in and just call for the breaks.
We're going to change the topic.
And
but, you know, on a serious note for a moment, 68 years ago today, Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. December 7th, 1941, and over 2,400 lives were lost in the attack, of which 68 were civilians. Now, one story, because I used to do a lot of reading about the attack on Pearl Harbor, which was a day of infamy, was the reason so many died on the USS Arizona is that the night before, the six main battleships had a band competition. It was very big in those days, band competition within each of the battleships. The USS Arizona band won the competition, and the reward was for all the sailors on the ship to sleep in on Sunday morning. That was a reward. So when the attack came on Pearl Harbor, the reason the guys on the other battleships were able to get out quickly is they were up, and the USS Arizona was being rewarded for winning band competition.
Did not know that.
So well over 1,000 on the USS Arizona went down with the ship. And that's, people have always asked, why so many died in the U.S. Arizona? Because it took a direct hit early, and most of the guys were in bed sleeping as a reward. Mm. So our prayers go out on the 60th anniversary. I know there's a gathering today at the shrine of the USS Arizona. About 40 or 50 survivors will be there. So, you know, it's hard to believe 68 years ago, you know, our parents' generation. Mm-hmm. So we have a special program lined up here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Feel free to call in. And the first half hour, we deal with the Shrine of Christ the King, Sovereign Priest, is approaching its second anniversary. And in studio, we met him across the street and we walked over together, Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico, Vice Rector of the Shrine of Christ the King and member of the Institute of Christ the King, a community founded in 1990. And with us in studio, Professor Estrada Tantillo. And Estrada is Professor of History and Germanic Studies at University of Illinois at Chicago. She's a member of the Board of Advisors for the Shrine of Christ the King. To Father Canon Matthew Tallarico and Professor Estrada Tantillo, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you very much, Father.
Come and on. Our listeners have to know that Matthew is a fanatic Pittsburgh Steeler. Pittsburgh Penguin fan from Pittsburgh. And Estrada was impressing us with her knowledge of the Montreal Canadiens hockey team in the 1970s. I have to admit, Estrada, I don't impress easily with that stuff, and you did all right.
And we're out of time, so thank you. Thank you,
and we'll go to a break. And Matthew, please tell us about the founding of your community back in 1990 before we talk about the shrine.
Well, a community was founded by Monsignor Gilles Vach, a Frenchman, who had studied in Italy, in Rome, for a number of years. He was ordained by Pope John Paul II in 1979. And the community was founded to preserve the traditional Latin liturgy, the traditional Latin Mass, as it was commonly called. And There were many churchmen. Monsignor Vach worked in the Curia. He worked with under Cardinals Oddi and Cardinal Palazzini, and they encouraged him to found the Institute. Monsignor Vach, he was also a vicar general in Gabon, in Africa, and where he was serving in a diocese there. And that was where the Institute was first canonically erected, in Gabon, in Africa. And then the seminary was founded in 1990, but in the Diocese of Florence, Italy, where the Cardinal Pivanelli at the time welcomed the Institute. And from there it spread. Now we're working in 12 countries around the world. We still have missions in Africa and Gabon. And here in the United States, we're currently working in 13 dioceses. Here in Chicago is our headquarters for the United States. The Shrine of Christ the King is sort of our flagship church. And we have a number of apostolates worldwide, as well as schools and missions, too.
Now, a slight nuance for our listeners, because we were talking about this before the program. You are not a religious order like a Jesuit or a Franciscan, but or a diocesan priest tied to a particular geographical area, but a Society of Apostolic Life of Pontifical Right. Tell us what that is.
Yes. Well, in the Institute, that's right. We don't take solemn vows like religious, but we live in community in the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, our patron saint. So the priests and the brothers, we have brothers as well, we live in community. We pray the office together in Gregorian chant, morning, at midday, and in the evening with Vespers.
How many in your community?
Here in Chicago, there are there's two of us priests, and we have three brothers and two seminary candidates as well. There's seven of us here. And then worldwide, there's 55 priests and also about two dozen brothers. And we also have sisters, a feminine branch of the Institute, which was founded 8 years ago. And they're at their mother house in Florence, and they're now beginning an American foundation in St. Louis.
Now, Estrida, you're a convert to Catholicism because of the Institute.
That's correct.
Right? Tell us how that came about.
Although the church has only been open for 2 years, the main church, the Institute moved a few years earlier to Chicago in order to set it up. And my husband, who has been Catholic, started attending services, Mass there in the Priory in a small Mass. And he said, oh, you've got to come. It is so beautiful. And so I started to come. And although I had been familiar with the Catholic Mass before with the Novus Ordo, the beauty and the elevation of the Latin Mass convinced me that I wanted to learn more. And then I became involved, and that convinced me to convert to Catholicism.
And you were convert in what year, Estrida?
I converted in 2006.
So just three and a half years ago.
That's correct.
That is terrific. We're going to go to a break here early on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majars, and our guests are Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico and Professor Estrida Tantillo. We're talking about the Shrine of Christ the King Sovereign Priest. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com to view our photo gallery and catch up on the latest news. Subscribe to the Catholic New World online, at your parish church during our subscription drive, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Come enjoy more than 250 wines from around the world at Catholic Charities' 9th Annual Divine Affair on January 31st at the Union League Club in Chicago. Catholic Charities hosts this annual event to benefit its self-sufficiency programs for poor families. Tickets cost $100 and include wine tasting and appreciation seminars and a silent auction. A special reduced rate will be offered to designated drivers. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/divine or call 312-655-7912 for details.
And welcome back into the program. Talking this morning about the Shrine of Christ the King of Sovereign Priests, now approaching its second anniversary. In studio with us is Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico, the Vice Rector of the Shrine of Christ the King and a member of the Institute of Christ the King, a new Apostolic Life of Pontifical Rite community founded in 1990, and Professor Estrida Tantillo, Professor of History and Germanic Studies at the University of Illinois at Chicago and a member of the Board of Advisors. Father Matt, during the break, we were talking a little bit about the shrine itself. It has really now been built and in the process of being rebuilt and renovated as part of an old parish landmark church in Chicago.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the shrine itself and how it really came to be what it is today.
Well, the shrine was actually scheduled for demolition, and at that time it was declared also an historic landmark of the city of Chicago. And so Cardinal George, he entrusted the shrine to the Institute to restore. And we had done a number of restoration projects in Wausau, Wisconsin, in Kansas City, Missouri, and also we have one going on in St. Louis. And so when Cardinal George gave the shrine to restore, the Shrine Church to the Institute, it was really the biggest project because it was an empty shell. There was no running water. It had been scheduled for demolition, so there was nothing in there. It was completely empty and just a pile of things laying around.
St. Gelasius Church.
The old St. Gelasius right. Church, formerly known as Santa Clara, was built in 1925. It was the National Shrine of St. Teresa of the Little Flower back in 1925 because she was canonized the same year. And there was a fire in the late 70s. The church had fallen on hard times. It never recovered from that fire. And it was finally closed in 2001. And then Cardinal George erected the shrine in 2006 in the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And now we were able to finally to fix up the church enough to be able to use it on a daily basis. Nearly 2 years ago, that was December 29, 2007, when Cardinal George came for the opening mass. And since then, it's just been a phenomenal growth. Many, many people of a variety of ages, of backgrounds, young families, professional people, people of a variety of professions, Professor Tantillo and her family were there right from the very beginning.
In fact, when we started going, my husband and I were the only people outside of the community that were attending, and now there are hundreds and two masses on Sunday and daily masses. And I think one of the most striking thing for me is how diverse in age the congregation is, and many young families.
And there is an active apostolate as part of this church. This is more than the building and the
yes,
liturgies, right?
Exactly. So it's a shrine where we honor the Holy Infant Jesus. There's a statue of the Holy Infant Jesus from the late 17th century. It comes from southern Spain. It's a beautiful statue that's been restored and is the centerpiece of our devotion there at the shrine. And so we also want to make it a center for faith and also for culture. So we have a variety of events. If you go to our website, www.infantking.com, that's infantking.com, you will see our whole list of events, variety of events, liturgical events, also cultural events, concerts, lectures. There's a number of family events as well. We have a lot of young families, so there's catechism. There's also retreats on the first Saturday of the month.
Now, what do you have coming up tomorrow night, Father Matthew?
Tomorrow night, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the patroness of our country, patroness of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Patron
also of the Institute of Christ the King. We consecrate our institute each year to Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. We have a special mass tomorrow night, December the 8th, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m., a high mass with Gregorian chant and a consecration to our Blessed Mother.
And now give people the exact location of the shrine.
We're located at 6415 South Woodlawn Avenue. So 64th Street and South Woodlawn Avenue. That's close to the Museum of Science and Industry, that area, Hyde Park, just minutes away from the lakefront.
And maybe a question I would have is, you know, here I pastor at St. Mary the Woods, a faith community on the Northwest side. So do people attend the shrine as parishioners where it is their church?
Yes.
It's their church, so which means they're involved in different ministry. Because you said, Estrida, you and your husband were, in a sense, like the first parishioners beyond the community. So which means were you the first ones given envelopes?
Yes, indeed.
Spoken as a pastor. Oh, how silly of me.
Jim Dish is shaking his head. You knew we were going to go there, didn't you?
And there is the many people from the neighborhood come, and the growth has been phenomenal. Some people have even moved to be near the church in order to attend the church, but people come from all over as well. And again, part of the draw is the Latin Mass, and I would like to also emphasize it's a very living process in the services. In fact, not only is the music sometimes the traditional, but there's a contemporary composer in Chicago, Kevin Allen, who composes some of the parts of the Mass or the hymns as part of the Mass, and that's it's a very living and alive tradition. And yes, we were certainly among the first for the envelopes.
Now, Srita, tell us about your work as part of the Board of Advisors. What types of things do you do in that role?
Well, because church was starting from scratch, it really is everything that one can imagine. So how does one work with the local aldermen? How does one help coordinate with the city? How does one do fundraising campaigns? How does one plan for cultural events? So as a member of the Board of Advisors, I've been involved with those kinds of activities.
So you're really building a community from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we started at zero, at nothing. And today, through the traditional liturgy, through the spirituality of the Institute, the Salesian spirituality, St. Francis de Sales, it's amazing. Now there's people who come to the shrine from Indiana, from all reaches of the suburbs of Chicago, from the north side, maybe even from Maywood.
Well, the thing is now, your title, Father Matthew, is the vice rector.
Yes.
But does the shrine have a pastor? In the sense of, you know, I think of the term pastor, associate pastor,
yes,
staff.
Yes.
So you're the vice rector, but it seems in many ways you have a shrine, but you also have a parish because the people gather from all over weekly,
yes,
to celebrate
to come
on the table of the Lord, the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And so are you also considered like the pastor?
Well, the rector of the shrine is Monsignor R. Michael Schmitz, who's the vicar general in our institute. He travels quite a bit throughout the United States and abroad. And he is the rector of the shrine.
You need to ask this question, kind of getting back. You were born and raised in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Well, how did you even come to know about this community, to then go from Pittsburgh to go study in Italy and to be where you are today?
Well, I met Monsignor Vach, our founder and superior general, when he was visiting the United States. I'd serve mass for him. And also
at your home parish back in Pittsburgh?
No, this was it was in Washington, D.C., after the March for Life.
Okay.
And so I'd met him there, and there was a priest at the Institute who had visited Pittsburgh where the traditional Latin Mass was celebrated in a diocesan community there. And so I was impressed by the spirituality. I love St. Francis de Sales. I liked the way the beauty of the liturgy, and so that really attracted me. I'm born in 1981.
But now this was, you were not in the seminary at the time.
No. I was still
studying?
In high school.
You were in high school.
I was still in high school at the time, and I was born in 1981, so I didn't grow up with the traditional Latin Mass.
Boy, is he
he's
young.
Rubbing that in our, he's rubbing that in our face. He said it twice already. I'm just keeping count here.
I've
got shoes that are older. Wow.
And I do want to emphasize the youth of the priests in the order. Many of them are very young, and the seminary is bursting in the seams. This
yes.
is very much a movement from the youth up.
How? Why? What's your speculation as to the growing, the robust vocations for the Institute?
Well, I think the people are really drawn to the liturgy. We live in a world which is often, unfortunately, ugly and noisy. People long for God. They're hungry and thirsting for spirituality, for the divine. And so I think that through the traditional Latin Mass, also young men want to give themselves to something. And, you know, they love the chant, they love the rich liturgical tradition in the church, I was really drawn by that as a young teenager serving the Mass. I was really attracted to it.
Are you seeing a younger demographic, for example, attending the liturgies at the shrine too?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hmm. And all over, I mean, I've now attended Mass at various churches in America and also in Europe. For the of the Institute of Christ the King, and all over, it's a young demographic.
I'm going to get you another parishioner because the associate that I work with at the university travels far and wide for Latin Masses, including going to St. John Cantius every week. So we'll talk afterwards. You're listening to
good.
Catholic Community of Faith
another
on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. It's 9:19 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Help unwrap the spirit this holiday season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to join us in helping children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or volunteering with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:21 on this cold, somewhat snowy Monday morning here in Chicago, but a big storm is coming in tomorrow evening into and through Wednesday, but all depends on the tracking of the wind. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408, and we are talking about the Shrine of Christ the King, Sovereign Priest. And with us, Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico, the Vice Rector of the Shrine, and Professor Astrida Tantillo, who's on the Board of Advisors.
Father Matt, before the break, we were talking about the number of seminarians at St. Philip Neri Seminary, which is located just outside of Florence, Italy. As candidates go through the seminary program, they will be ordained in Italy more than likely. And then will they be assigned to then one of the locations of the Institute? Is that
yes, that's correct. Okay. So all of our seminarians, they come from a variety of countries, not only from the United States, but also from around Europe, from Africa, from Japan, from Brazil. And we all study there to be close to Rome, close to our Holy Father. And also, it's beautiful to see how the Latin liturgy brings everyone together. And then after the seminary training, they might be ordained in Italy, or I was ordained in St. Louis by Archbishop Burke there in his cathedral.
And what year was that, Matthew?
It was in 2007.
Okay. 2007. Oh, gosh, you're a young priest.
A beautiful pontifical high mass there. And so
I was there. It was quite beautiful.
Yes.
And the thing is that with the 55 seminarians right now in Florence,
yes,
any happen to be from Chicago?
From Chicago? At the moment, we have someone from the suburbs. Yes, we do.
You do. And how many from the United States?
From the United States, we have now 14. 14 there at our seminary from the United States. And we also have a number of young men in pre-formation here in the United States. So when one wants to enter the Institute, he spends a year of pre-formation in one of our apostolates, either here in Chicago, in Wisconsin, or in St. Louis.
What would be the minimum age?
Out of high school, yes.
Okay, so if a young man is a freshman in high school, would you be in contact with him as he kind of moves through high school and upon graduation into one of these programs?
Sometimes we are contacted by high school students. They come for, perhaps during their senior year, they might come for a vocational visit, 3 or 4 days, to live with our community, participate in the daily liturgical life with the Gregorian chant, the office, the mass, and just to kind of see for themselves. And then afterwards, some of them do enter.
There are also university graduates right now. I know there's at least one young man who has a degree from Harvard and one from Boston University. So it really runs the gamut.
Yes.
Astrida, I'm struck by your story of how you were attracted to not only the Institute, but the faith as part of your early experience with the liturgy at Christ the King. That's kind of an atypical way to get exposed to the Catholic faith. It is Latin. It is not the traditional way of. Did you have any experience with or exposure to Catholicism either in grammar school or high school or?
No, I was raised a Lutheran. My husband is Catholic, and we've been married for 20 years.
Okay.
And so he always had a love for the Latin Mass, but more often than not, he would attend the Novus Ordo. And for some reason, I didn't feel drawn to that. But I must say, now having attended and being familiar with the Latin Mass, I understand much better the Novus Ordo. And I think that if people haven't had the experience or recently of the Latin Mass, it does enhance one's understanding of many different forms
what
of Catholicism.
What would you say to someone, Father Matt, who was a little apprehensive about jumping in with both feet to attend maybe their first Latin Mass, not knowing the language, probably not having it in a formal educational setting? How will they experience the liturgy in that type of a setting?
I would say, come and see. Come and see. Come and look at the vestments, look at the beauty of the altar, smell the incense, listen to the Gregorian chant. Allow God to speak to your soul through the beauty in the liturgy, through the beauty that you see, it's very apparent, and allow that beauty to uplift your soul to God, you know, through the senses.
Go ahead, Srita.
I just also want to, a lot of times people don't realize that there are booklets with the Latin and the English in the church, and so you can follow along. It's not as if one will not know what is going on. And I just also want to say, as a professor, people always are surprised, but students really are interested in things that are classic, and they're interested in origins. And to that extent, that it does enhance one's way of worshiping, whether one wants to ultimately worship that or not. It's a way of learning more about one's faith.
And one thing you said earlier, Father Matt, that I totally agree with, people are searching.
Yes.
They hunger for God.
Yes.
We sometimes spend our whole life hungering for other than God, and we try to fill that hole with money, with title, with possessions, with drugs, with alcoholism, with material goods, and ultimately, the hole can only be filled by God.
Yes, that's true.
We, in a sense, have to surrender and let go. And Advent is a marvelous time, because the Advent season is about waiting, it's about preparation. It's the inbreaking of God already in our midst. But you're so correct. You know, I deal with people every day who are hungering for the more.
Yes, and that's why at the Shrine we have a variety of ways of meeting people. We have these retreats on the first Saturday of the month, first Saturday morning of recollection. Also, in the Institute of Christ the King, we offer spiritual direction in the spirit of St. Francis de Sales. We have daily confessions also before each Mass, 30 minutes before each Mass. If you go to our website, infantking.com, you can see our schedule there. And so we really see more and more people are thirsting, and they want to give themselves to God. And so through the liturgy and also through culture, we hope to foster that and to make our Shrine Church a center of faith and culture. And hopefully also through the beauty that's there, the beauty of the classical concerts, the beauty of the music, the beauty of the architecture, the restoration work at the Shrine, to draw people, to even draw non-Catholics to ask questions about the Catholic faith.
Well, we have run out of time for the first half of our program, Catholic Community Faith, and I want to thank in a very special way Reverend Canon Matthew Tallarico, the Vice Rector of the Shrine of Christ the King and member of the Institute of Christ the King, a community founded in 1990. And special thanks to Professor Astrida Tintillo. She's Professor of History and Germanic Studies at University of Illinois at Chicago and is a board member of advisors at the Shrine of Christ the King. So, Astrida, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us here on Catholic
Faith.
Thank you. We'll keep you in prayer. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Madjars. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Magyar, as Vice President
that
and Chief of Staff.
That music can only mean one thing.
Joyce DiRiga joins us by phone. The latest edition of the Catholic New World, and Joyce, the editor of the Catholic New World. Joyce, we have to have you on every show. I love that song. It just fires me up like before a football game. And how are you doing this morning, Joyce?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Were we calling you back at your office right now?
No, I'm at home. I'm taking a vacation day today.
Oh, but you're not a total vacation day. You're calling us here on Catholic Community Faith, but I love your honesty that you're taking a vacation day, and you may need one the next few days with the snow. But
I'm looking at the snow. There's snow outside.
No, yeah, we're even downtown here. And so, well, tell us what is happening in the latest edition of the Catholic New World.
Well, we've got, we've talked to some media watchers about the Catholics Come Home initiative. We've been doing some stories and everybody's been talking about that. But we talked to some people who work in media about using media to evangelize, and that they think it's a good thing. And then, but they follow up like everyone else to say that we have to follow up with something when the people come back to the parishes. We've also got a Year for the Priest story about the importance of chalices for priests. We've interviewed a couple of priests who have some unique chalices. One, it's like from this, it's from a couple centuries ago. It was a gift from his parents. And then we talk about our center spreads about John Paul II's theology of the body, trying to simplify it so people can understand it. And then we talk to a bunch of young adult groups around the city in the Chicago area who do study groups about theology of the body and talk about how important it is for it's really caught on, as you probably know, with with younger people.
And Joyce, we're halfway through Advent, so you still have a number of features going on in preparation for Christmas, right?
We do that. This time we put together a list of Christmas movies and movies that you can watch in preparation up to Christmas. Some fun ones, some spiritual ones, some other things like that.
The thing is,
and then this time the Cardinal's writing about St. Joseph and his importance in our lives. So it's all good stuff.
Well, I want to say thank you in a very special way to Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, the great paper for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Joyce, sounds like even though you're taking a day off today, vacation, which you deserve, a lot of things are happening. And give our listeners a phone number if they want to maybe subscribe to the Catholic New World. Where
thank
can
you.
They call?
They can call 312-534-7577.
That number once again.
312-534-7577.
And what about a web?
Online, it's thecatholicnewworld.com.
Okay, well, Joyce, thank you very much for the great work that you do. And you are listening to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Magyars. And we've just been speaking with Joyce DiRiga. I like when Jim Dish just extends that music. It just kind of fires you up on a Monday morning, and we need that with the weather going to get rough the next few days. We're going to change gears here now, and the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the massive celebration that will take place at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines beginning this coming Friday evening. And that's a site sometimes known as the Guadalupe Torch Run. That'll take place at the Federal Plaza Bilingual Mass on Saturday, December 12th at noon. And there'll be Posada worship services throughout the Archdiocese. And our guest we have in studio, we have Father Miguel Martinez, the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we have Al Castillo, the director of the Office of Hispanic Communication, that has his own radio programs here on Relevant Radio and other stations. So welcome to Al and Father Miguel to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Al, just back up again. Mm-hmm. You were in history. You were a graduate of Niles College Seminary in what year?
1986. It's been a long time.
So when I entered the faculty in 1985, you were entering your senior year.
Exactly.
So I met you 24 years ago.
And we were playing flag football many years ago.
I remember I had a couple of hits on you. if I could catch you.
And here I don't think I've recovered since.
Here we go again with the sports theme.
We have to.
we have to. Well, we know that the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe is celebrated tomorrow, with Mass of Anticipation this evening. And maybe, Miguel, you know, for our listeners, the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is an incredibly powerful story, and maybe just in a brief nutshell, let our listeners know who may not be familiar with Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to a native Aztec named Juan Diego in December 9 of 1531. And the apparition on Tepeyac Hill, which is now Mexico City, it was a message to build a house on top of the hill so our mother, Mary, could listen to the prayers and to the concerns and worries of her children. And she appeared the following 3 days, December 9, December 10, December 11. And on December 12 of 1531, Juan Diego brought the proof that Bishop Zumárraga asked from Our Lady, and the proof was roses. When Juan Diego brought the roses in the tilma of the garment that he had, miraculously the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared in the tilma, and it is the one that is placed now in the Basilica in Mexico City for the last 478 years. So the message is just a place where all of us could go and pray and ask her powerful intercession, and she listens to us as God's children.
Al, this is a tremendous feast for especially not only the Hispanic community within Chicago throughout the world, but for Catholics overall. Tell us a little bit about how your ministry as the director of the Office of Hispanic Communication here in the Archdiocese really helps to promote and move forward this great feast day.
Well, certainly, you know, we have our Spanish language radio program that we have weekly on Saturday mornings at 8:30, if anyone's interested. And we interviewed Father Miguel regarding the impact that this particular feast day has for Hispanic Catholics throughout the Midwest. And certainly, you know, one of the questions I asked him is, when do you start planning for this great feast day celebration? He's like, well, as soon as the feast day is over, starting January, they begin the planning, once again, the evaluation and the planning. So certainly, Father Miguel and I have contact throughout the year, and we discuss different aspects of it. Most importantly are the logistics, because one of the things about this particular activity or celebration at Maryville in Des Plaines is that I believe it was over 100,000 people come through that location in about a 48-hour period. So it's massive in scope.
So Al, let me get this straight. So on this weekend, with the celebration of Our Lady of Guadalupe, over 100,000 people are expected, if it's based upon last year's crowd?
Yes, it is the biggest gathering for Our Lady of Guadalupe in the United States, and probably I would say outside of Mexico City. So really what we receive as far as pilgrims in the 48-hour celebration is what Mexico City receives in 1 hour. It's 100,000 per hour in Mexico City, but here in the United States, especially in these plains, it's over 100,000 people.
You know, I'm very familiar with Maryville and the corner it sits on by, I think it's River Road and Central
Road.
I mean, how do you house over 100,000 people? Let's say at any one time, maybe 40 or 50,000. Can they actually fit onto the grounds?
Well, people come and go, and mm-hmm. most of the people would spend about an hour and a half, and then leave. And so constantly, people are coming in and going out. We have, for example, Acton College, which is 1 mile east of the shrine, holds over 1,000 cars, and that's just constantly filled. That's the report of the Des Plaines police. And so we have just people coming and going all the time. Of course, the main time for the feast is December 11, I would say from 8 p.m. until 3 in the morning, which is really, really crowded.
Talking about the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe on Catholic Community of Faith, Relevant Radio 950 AM. It is 9:40 in the morning. Wayne Majars and Father Greg Sekowitz, and we'll be right back after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Sister Rosemary Conley celebrates her 40th year at the helm of Misericordia. We'll visit with Sister Rosemary and witness the wonderful work being done at Misericordia for people with disabilities. And we'll talk with Cardinal George about his new book, The Difference God Makes, A Catholic Vision of Faith, Communion, and Culture.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
The Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe with a public expression of our Catholic faith. On Saturday, December 12th at 12 noon, Bishop John Manns will lead us in a bilingual mass at Federal Plaza on the corner of Dearborn and Adams. It's a wonderful opportunity to attend mass and enjoy a day in the beautiful downtown area all decked out with holiday lights. So dress warmly and bring a warm heart to Federal Plaza on Saturday, December 12th at 12 noon, as we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Patroness of the Unborn.
Welcome back into the program, and if you were listening carefully to Mary Louise Curry, you will know that that's what we're speaking about on the program today, is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. With us, Father Miguel Martinez, the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and Al Castillo, the director of the Office of Hispanic Communications here for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Before the break, we were talking, Father Miguel, about the cast of tens of thousands that descend upon Des Plaines, but there is a spiritual dimension and an importance to the shrine that is out at Miraville. Tell us about that.
Yes, in 1997, an image, a replica of the Tilma or Our Lady of Guadalupe was brought to Des Plaines, to what now is the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the priest from the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico came to Des Plaines to enthrone the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. They poured soil that was brought from the Tepeyac Hill where Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego. And the priest from Mexico City said to the people that gathered that day and is spread out really quickly that the devotees of our mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, can come there in Des Plaines to visit Our Lady as is if they would do it in Mexico City. Mm. Now, in the Hispanic world, there is something very sacred which is called manda, or promise. See, our people promise something to Our Lady of Guadalupe for her intercession. They say, you know, my mother is sick, or I need to find a job, or whatever it might be. They ask Our Lady of Guadalupe's intercession, and then they promise something. It could be their hair. It could be walking from their home to the shrine. It could be coming to the shrine and go in on their knees. It can be anything. And this is really important. It's a promise to Our Lady that has to be fulfilled. Now, many people make that promise without thinking that they are in the United States. And so they found it troublesome that when they are ready to fulfill or satisfy that promise, they are unable to go to Mexico City. Uh-huh. It could be because of documents, could be because they don't have the money to travel, or it could be anything, time from work.
And devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, especially in the Hispanic community, is really it's an individual type of spiritual devotion, but it's also a family type of spiritual devotion, right?
Yes, yes, exactly. So we have families coming every day, especially babies they bring to Our Lady, and so, you know, they can come as a family to pray to Our Lady without going to Mexico City and just be there with our mother in this shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
So really, this started back in 1997 with the shrine on the grounds of Maryville Academy. And I know in 1997, Miguel, you were not here at, you know, the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now, Al, you were. So were you at the dedication back in 1997?
I was not. Okay. No, I was not. But, you know, again, as Father Miguel pointed out in our program last week, you know, this celebration has been growing incrementally. But mm-hmm. I think the last time that the feast day fell on a weekend, it exploded. And I'll let Father Miguel talk a little bit about that, because it's one of those things that, you know, the word started getting around, but once the weekend hit the last time around, which was about 5 years ago,
Five years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time that Our Lady of Guadalupe was celebrated at what was in Maryville Academy, only 12 people attended. And when the feast fell on a weekend, all the Hispanic media, TV and radio, were there. And just thousands of people gathered, not as big as it is today, but the word went out. And we really received people from California, Louisiana, New York, Texas, coming just to pay or fulfill their mandas here in Des Plaines. And I had great experiences of people who have been healed, or they want to give thanks to God through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
So really, when you had 100,000 come last year, there is a good chance that that number may be topped this weekend.
I think it will be,
because the word has really gotten out.
Exactly, and it is a weekend, so it will be a Friday night, and we are expecting really a record of pilgrims gathering at the shrine this year.
So I'm sure the city of Des Plaines is on full alert regarding traffic patterns, because when you're talking 100,000 people plus, now granted it's over a couple of day period, but that is, you look at Soldier Field, that's 62,000.
Yes.
And the traffic snarls are pretty bad down there.
Yes.
Well, this could be twice as many.
Tell us about Al. Another part of the celebration is the bilingual mass at Federal Plaza, which is coming up this Saturday at noon. Bishop Manns will be the main celebrant. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. This is the second annual mass at Federal Plaza dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Again, on the corner of Dearborn and Adams. Last year it was Bishop Gustavo Garcia Siller, and this year it'll be Bishop John Manns, Auxiliary Bishop of Vicaria III. This is a mass that is hosted by the Respect Life Office as well as the Office for Hispanic Ministry, and so again, it's quite a sight to see. Last year, prior to the start of the mass, you saw dozens of devotees in chairs. But here's the thing, and again, the same applies to Maryville, in the extreme cold. It was, I would say, the wind chill was below zero, and they were there.
And how many people came to this mass last year?
Oh, there were dozens. There were dozens. I'd say, about 100, 150 maybe.
So we're talking outdoor mass in mm-hmm. frigid temperature.
Yes, yes. Wow. And again, logistically, just if anyone is interested, first of all, Our Lady of Guadalupe is the Empress of the Americas, so she is all of ours. And I encourage everyone that's listening to go out and see, because Maryville is something for the senses. I mean, there are fireworks, there's music, there's dancing, there are outdoor masses, midnight mass, outdoors. There are processions, people coming from all over on bicycles, I believe on motorcycles as well, running. The St. Agnes of Bohemia runners go 26 miles, some of them, from Maryville with torches all the way back to their parishes to hit 5 o'clock mass. So there's a lot of things going on in these 48 hours.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors. And our guests are Al Castillo and Father Miguel Martinez. 9:51 exactly in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Hello, I'm Lisa Paletto, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. This December, Catholic Charities Junior Board needs volunteers to help unwrap the spirit during our celebration of giving. Your help is needed for several heartfelt opportunities to help local children and families have a joyous Christmas. December 5th and 6th, we need volunteers to help unload and sort toys at the IBEW Hall at 600 West Washington. December 12th and 13th, volunteers can help us fill gift orders for children at the Merchandise Mart. Also on December 12th, we're looking for volunteers who can help make the season bright for our clients at our annual Early Childhood Christmas Party at our main office at LaSalle and Superior. There's always a way to help your neighbors at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information, call 312-655-7932 or visit www.catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back into the program. talking about the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe with Father Miguel Martinez, who is the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and El Castillo, the director of the Office of Hispanic Communications here at the Archdiocese of Chicago. The big event, can we call it a pilgrimage? We really can, right?
Because there's many people coming on pilgrimage, walking, on bicycles, you name it. Yeah.
Right. So
from all over the United States.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So for those of you in the Archdiocese who have never experienced what a pilgrimage is, I mean, coming together with the faithful from all across the country, this is certainly a way to do it close to home.
Yes, exactly. And the biggest pilgrimage is from Our Lady of Lourdes. They start walking at 10 p.m. on December 11, and they reach the shrine at 4:30 in the morning to participate in the 5 a.m. Mass.
Is that Our Lady of Lourdes over on Ashland?
Ashland and Leland. Yeah, it's about 18 miles. They walk all through the night. And this can reach 1,500 pilgrims last year, walking on Milwaukee Avenue all the way to Des Plaines.
You have a special guest coming also as part of the program. Tell us about that.
Well, we can both talk about it. There's a gentleman by the name of Eduardo Verástegui. He's an actor. He's a producer. Underwent a conversion a few years back. He's a Mexican. He's originally a Mexican soap opera star. So if you've ever turned on channel Univision or Telemundo and just kind of looked at some of the soap operas,
he would be well known in that community.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So a few years back, he underwent a conversion back to his Catholic faith, and instead of throwing away, the whole Hollywood scene, he was advised by a spiritual director to use that and leverage that to bring more people back to their faith. And so we have them. He's been invited, he's back to Maryville to talk a little bit about his experiences. One talk will be on his devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the other is basically his road back to Catholicism.
That is Marlos. Miguel?
Yes, he has done the movie Bella with very good values, and I think he's planning in doing a movie on Our Lady of Guadalupe and the life of Miguel Agustin Pro. And so it's just a great witness to the Christian Catholic values in society, and being so young and so well known, it's just a powerful message to all of us.
And he resonates with folks of all ages, I would imagine.
Yes, of all ages. Yeah. So people are excited to.
Well, he's a celebrity.
Is that celebrity?
He's
yes.
a TV soap opera. And he will be on the grounds of Maryville when, Father Miguel?
December 11 at 10 p.m., he will give his first testimony. And on December 12, before the Mass with Cardinal George, he will give another talk on his love to Our Lady of Guadalupe at 11 a.m.
And maybe, Al, for a moment, before we close, you can connect this whole movement with the Our Lady of Guadalupe with this huge evangelization project starting here in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Sure. We thought that, this would be a wonderful opportunity to, announce to the folks that will be visiting the shrine this new program, Catholics Come Home, Regresa a Casa Católico. And what better way than to again, I hate to use the word leverage, but leverage the Our Lady of Guadalupe and her message to bring people back to, Jesus Christ. And so we thought this was a wonderful opportunity to kind of roll it all in. This is a Catholics Come Home is a program that will start mid-December and go through mid-January, as many of our listeners already know. Why during this time? It's a time when people are looking to go back to the church to find, fulfill their lives their abilities to kind of, mark the year and move forward with something.
And people need to know that starting on December 16th, we'll have a massive television drive with commercials, 30, 60, 90-second spots on every major network. And this is the Archdiocese of Chicago, Rockford,
and Joliet.
So combined. We need to bring today's program to a close. I want to thank in a very special way this last half hour. We've had Father Miguel Martinez, the director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and Al Castillo, the director of the Office of Hispanic Communications. And we're dealing with the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, where there'll be a massive celebration this weekend on the grounds of Maryville. I know, Father Miguel, you are probably going to get very, very little sleep.
Very little.
This weekend. And so I also want to say thank you very much to co-host Wayne Magyars, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University Chicago. And also a very special thank you to both our producer slash engineer.
Getting
wearing two hats.
Two paychecks today.
Jim Dish for a job very, very well done. To our listeners, may God bless you. And we continue our Advent season time waiting preparation and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.